Tasmania has many, many sheep. I believe in New Zealand there are more sheep than there are people. Australia, I think, doesn't have that many. There are more people than sheep. But nevertheless, many, many, many sheep. If you go out in the country, right out in the country, you'll see paddocks, especially over the other side of the Blue Mountains, where it's a bit dry. Our sheep don't like it too wet. They like a dry grazing area. And you'll see thousands and thousands of sheep. In Australia, they don't have shepherds here. They have drovers. I think I've said this before. They have so many sheep that they round them up either on horseback. I have done that. I in my younger years, I have rounded the sheep up and the cattle up on the horse. But often they have so many, they'll use motorbikes. Or even if they have on the very big properties, where as you go further out and it gets drier and drier towards the centre of Australia, you have huge properties because they don't have much grass for the sheep. They will actually use helicopters to scare the sheep, to drive them. But that's not what we're talking about here. This is talking about a shepherd who just has a few sheep. And the shepherd always knows each of the sheep by name. And the sheep know the shepherd. And the shepherd doesn't get behind with a big stick to drive them or to scare them. He goes in front of them and the sheep follow him. So it's a very different situation to what we're used to in Australia. But if you can imagine it, David was a shepherd boy, and he declared one time that the lion and the bear came to snatch the sheep and to eat them, and he fought them off with his slingshot and his rod, and they ran away. He protected the sheep. So David understood what it was to be a shepherd himself. But now he is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's saying, I am like one of the Lord's sheep, and he is protecting me. He is looking after me. And see how he describes this relationship that he has with his beautiful Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the first thing. How many anxious moments do we spend wondering what will the future bring? What will I have enough money to do this? Or what will happen if I get sick? Or what happens here? And so much anxiety in people's lives. And David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That doesn't mean the Lord promises that he'll be a millionaire, but the Lord promises that we will have our needs. And the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Whereas the covetous heart, the one, you know, I once heard a testimony of an American man, Mr. Carnegie. He was at his particular time in the early 1900s or 1800s, he was the world's richest man. I'm not sure who the world's richest man is today. I know Bill Gates used to be. I think it's some other bloke now, some Mexican guy. It doesn't really matter. Depending on what the state of the stock market is, I suppose. Anyhow, somebody asked this man, Mr. Carnegie, because you have everything, what more do you want, you know? And he said, I've never got enough. I've never got enough. I always want more, always want more. And so he's never satisfied. No matter what he's got, he'll never be satisfied. But the Bible says godliness with contentment. Are we content with what God has given? Then that is great gain. David said, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, the shepherd knows the good food. He knows what is right for us. As a parent, you know what is right for your child, don't you? You don't give them rat poison to eat or something. You'll prepare something that's nourishing and healthy and tasty for the children. This morning I had, after lunch, I had an occasion, one of my granddaughters, I came down and I found her, there was a balloon she had and it had burst and she was trying to stuff it into her mouth, you know, as Lily, you know, such a silly thing. And I took it away from her because she could choke on it, you know, and she got very upset with me. Very upset with you, you know, Lily, those of you who know Lily. And, you know, no. But I did not listen to her because I loved her. Because the child could have choked to death on the balloon, the burst balloon. And so the Lord doesn't always give us what we want and demand, but what is good for us. What is good for us. And we have to learn to trust Him, that He loves us and He knows what is good for us. David had that trust, and he's writing about his relationship with his shepherd. And he says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There's rest. What a restful scene. The sheep is not all worried and concerned. Because the sheep trusts the shepherd. I mean, sheep are actually pretty stupid animals, let me tell you. I've had a little bit of dealing with sheep. Have you ever watched sheep? And they'll be walking a line, and the first one will jump. There'll be nothing there. No, there'll be no log or ditch. No, there'll be nothing. And he'll jump. All the other sheep behind will jump too. And they go, it's really amusing to watch them. You know, you sort of scratch your head, what's stupid? Why don't they look and say, there's nothing there, you know? But because the other sheep did, he does it too. And the whole lot of them will do it. And I can tell you many other things that sheep do. They are really, really stupid. You know what? You and I are pretty stupid too. We think we're very clever and you know, with computers and whatnot. But really, we're not that clever. Look what man has done to this world. With all his cleverness, look what he's destroying this world. He's destroying the atmosphere. He's destroying the environment. He's destroying everything. That's what he does. The natural habitat of all the animals is getting less and less and less as man continues the sprawl of their cities and whatnot. And just greedily taking and consuming everything, and he will destroy it. Man was left to his own devices, he would destroy this earth for himself and destroy each other through a nuclear war or something. Now God won't let that happen because he loves us so much. But it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Another thing is, the shepherd, he doesn't teach the sheep to eat. He doesn't say, look, Mr. Sheep, you eat that one, you eat that one, you eat that one over there. You had enough of that one, you go over there and eat that. The sheep know how to eat. The sheep know what they're doing. The shepherd simply leads them into the green pastures. And so when we are his sheep, we know how to eat. But the Lord leads us. The Lord leads us. And he protects us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep will never drink when the brook or the river is bubbling. They will never go to that water. The water has to be still. The water has to be still for the sheep to drink. And so for us also, he brings peace into our life. He brings peace that we might stop rushing and running and going here, there and everywhere and getting in such a hurry to end this life I know children can hardly wait till they're grown up. You've heard the story about the person and they're a child, and this is a story of many people's lives, and the child says, oh, I can hardly wait to get to school, you know? I remember my children were like that. I can hardly wait to get to school. And when the older one goes to school, the younger ones, you know, want to get to school also and put the uniforms on and pretend they're going to school and whatnot. And then they're no sooner at school and they grow up and they can hardly wait to leave school, you know? They say in their heart and their mind, oh, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. When I get to school, I'll have all my friends and everything will be all right. I won't have to listen to mum and dad all the time, you know. And after a while, and they go through school, or once I leave school and I go to uni or whatever, I'll be free and I can do what I like and that'll be so much great fun and that'll be tremendous and I can hardly wait. And then they leave school and they go to uni and whatnot and things aren't never as good as, you know, you think. And so then they say, when I get married, you know, when I get married, it'll be great. Life will be perfect then, you know, no problems and, you know, it'll be good. That's what I'm waiting for, you know. My life will be just right then. And then they say, when kids come along, you know, when we get some kids, that'll be really great then. And then time goes on and, When I retire, then I'll be free. Then I'll have plenty of time for myself, and the kids have left home, and you know, then it'll be right, you know. And then I'm dead. You see, we spend our life chasing a rainbow. You understand? Trying to chase the end of the rainbow. You can never find the end of the rainbow. It's always in the distance, and you go there where you think it is. You can't see it. It's gone. So, or have you seen a dog go around chasing his tail, and it go round and round? So is many people's lives, because they've not come to rest. And they've not come to an understanding and a realization of the purpose why they are here. God is not their shepherd. They are just going round in circles and ever seeking, ever looking, but never resting, never coming to that wonderful, like our brother shared, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to take too long. Tonight, but I also remember when I came to Christ, because I was like a butterfly looking at this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. And when I finally came to Christ, for me, I was just so happy that I'd found the truth. I didn't bother looking anymore. I had found the truth. I had found the person who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. David, let's just read. This is his testimony. We heard Brother Matthew's testimony. This is David's testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. You know, we don't just have a body. Life is not just made up of how much money we have or our possessions, our houses. God may give, God may take away. But man has a soul. There's a verse in the Bible that says, regarding the Israelites, and they were complaining and complaining and complaining, and God gave them what they wanted, but it says he sent leanness to their soul. So they got what they wanted, but it didn't satisfy. And so David says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For the Lord is our shepherd. He'll never lead us astray. There's a verse in the Bible that says, no man, when he is tempted, can say he is tempted by God. God can tempt no man to sin. He is tempted of his own lust, out of his own heart. That's what Jesus said. The Pharisees were concerned with the disciples not washing their hands before lunch, before dinner. Okay, I'm not saying, and Jesus wasn't saying you shouldn't wash your hands, but the important thing, and that was so paramount to them, and they got really upset. And Jesus said to them, it's not so much what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him. For from within the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, thefts, fornication, drunkenness, lying and deceiving, pride. All these things are in the heart of every man. And that comes out, eventually it comes out. You may put a veneer of civilization, a veneer of religion, but finally what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And that defiles the man. But David is saying, the Lord will lead me in the paths of righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? That's a great blessing for you if you do. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 4, this is often why this psalm is read at a funeral. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a wonderful comfort. As a Christian, I have no fear of death. That's not because very brave and courageous and strong. Oh no, it had nothing to do with that. It simply means that as a Christian, we know where we're going. As a Christian, Jesus Christ goes with us. He holds our hand. He takes us through that valley of the shadow of death, and he takes us into his glory, into his kingdom, into his heaven. The Apostle Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, it's a good thing for a Christian to face death. I have faced death a few times. And one man, at one stage, a man held a gun at me, a real gun, loaded gun, and the other man was screaming, shoot him, kill him. They were very upset, if I won't go into the story, but the reason for mentioning that is, at that point of time, I felt for sure, this is it, I'm going to die, you know? But almost simultaneously, a great peace flooded my heart. I'm ready. It doesn't matter. Let him kill me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be with my Lord. And, well, as you can see, I didn't die. but that's another story, how God protects. But the purpose of saying it is, David could say, for thou art with me. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful comfort, for we must all needs die. You go to a cemetery. Who's ever walked through a cemetery and looked at the gravestones? And how big are the gravestones?
Sometimes pretty big.
Sometimes pretty big. That's an adult, a big adult. But do you get smaller ones? You get smaller ones, don't you? A child has died. You look particularly through old graveyards, and when the infant mortality rate was much higher than it is now, you'll get a lot of children dying, that died. None of us know the hour or the day. You cannot say, the average expected lifespan in Australia of a male is, I think it's 72 or 3 or something, and of a female 75. You cannot say, I've got that much time. None of us know when God calls us home. I remember a gravestone that I read in a cemetery not long ago, and I'll see if I can remember the words. It said, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So think upon eternity. Did you get that? It's a message from the grave. As you are now, I'm reading it, I'm alive, so once was I. That person in the grave was walking around, talking, eating, doing everything. So once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So think upon eternity. Okay. That's okay. I wasn't totally unaware of the children. I'm trying to cut this short. For thou art with me. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is with you? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is this shepherd? Who is the good shepherd? Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Who was David's shepherd? John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 14. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus of Nazareth, is speaking here, and he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You say, how could this Jesus be David's shepherd when David lived 2,000 years before Jesus was born? Something's a bit funny. Something's a bit odd. Jesus asked the religious people once, he said, what think you of Christ? Now you have to listen carefully. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say, the son of David. And Jesus said to them, how then in spirit does David say, my Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord God Almighty said unto my Lord. His Lord, the Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. That baby was born of a virgin, Mary, but Jesus as the Son of God is eternal. He is the creator of all things. We heard that this morning, didn't we, in Colossians. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in a body. God became man. Now, do you believe that? I believe that. I receive that. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. He didn't point to somebody else. He pointed people to himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That portion in John 3 that Matthew was reading about being born again. If you read a little further, to verse 16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want him as your shepherd? He loves you. He has proved his love. He died for us on the cross. Why did he die? Because my sins were taking me to hell. We had that verse in from Corinthians, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Doesn't matter what country, what culture, rich or poor, black or white, high or low, boy or girl, it doesn't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no amount of religion can take away that sin. One thing, blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus Christ alone can cleanse us and take away that sin. Have you taken that precious blood for the salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins? Then Jesus can be your shepherd. For he says here, and we'll finish here, verse 27, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When you are born again, when you, by faith, and being born again is simply God's Spirit coming to live in your spirit, so that now you are alive to God. Now you can understand the things of God. Now we can hear the voice of God. Now we can understand his word, his love letter to us. Now we can see a glorious future for us. Now we have power over the enemy, Satan, to live a righteous life. Now we know where we're going. Now we are not afraid of death. Because, as David said, thou art with me. So that is being born again. God will not send his Holy Spirit into me until he sees that heart receiving his beautiful Son as Savior and Lord. Because God cannot have fellowship. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness. I am in darkness. I am in my sin. My sin needs to be forgiven. And God has made the way through the death of his Son. And the blood that he shed at Calvary is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. And then we can hear that voice. Then he'll speak to you every day. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing that he can be your shepherd. He'll say, no, don't go there. Go there. Or wait a minute. He will speak. He will guide. He will lead. Because he's a loving shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. It is a gift. Brothers and sisters, whoever you are, it is a gift. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. God is offering you freely his salvation, which he purchased fully for us at the cross. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So what a shepherd. We haven't got time to look further at the shepherd, but that will suffice us. Do you want to know that shepherd? David knew that shepherd. I know that shepherd. Matthew knows that shepherd. Others here know that shepherd. You come. You come and put your trust and believe in Jesus Christ. And he will give you that gift of eternal life. He will be your shepherd throughout. As David said, and we haven't had time, but at the end of that psalm, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just for a few days. All the days of your life, Jesus will be your shepherd. and he'll lead you and guide you, he'll protect you, he'll preserve you, he'll bless your life, if only you'll let him. Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for your precious word, which points us to such a beautiful shepherd, such a tender-hearted shepherd, such a shepherd who is able to protect us, to preserve us, and Lord, who can provide our every need. Lord, we thank you, and we do pray and just commit thine own word into your loving hand. Bless every dear one that has gathered here tonight. And Lord, may they have a tender heart also to respond and to believe on you, as we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll close in and singing a song. We'll sing a song, number 7.